So this is our mitzvah for this evening, visiting the sick. Bikur Cholim, familiar mitzvah to us, unfortunately, for some cases. But it's an astounding mitzvah. I want to take a particular approach to the mitzvah, something that struck a chord with me in particular, not because of any experience, but just simply I kind of have a certain insight or something that struck a chord with me that made me understand a little bit better the mitzvah of visiting the sick. So it's less about the details and more about the approach to the mitzvah. Okay. So let's begin over here. The mitzvah of visiting the sick. So in general, when we talk about healing, providing refuah for people, there's a big philosophical underpinning discussion, and that is Hashem really is the one who provides the healing. We have several sources here over here, we'll read through them in a moment. Hashem really provides the healing. The Torah teaches us that Hashem provides the healing, and nevertheless the Torah commands and obligates a healthcare provider, a doctor or nurse, or anyone else who's able to support someone who's sick. So despite the fact that a person who is ill, and over here we're not talking about the common cold, someone who's actually, you know, perhaps critically ill or less than critically ill, I don't know how to define critically ill, but I'm just using a term I don't know how to define. But some...
Don't worry about it.
We'll do that mitzvah next week.
That's okay. You just stick it right there.
Yeah.
Does it fall easily?
Yeah, pretty much every day.
Huh? Yeah. I hope it's not broken. Good evening.
That's an entrance.
Okay. Beautiful, this is So, despite the fact that someone who is ill, and I'm using the term, and I don't mean it to use it clinically, because I don't know the clinical definition of someone who's critically ill, but I'm just using the term, the way, the vernacular, the way people use it. If someone is critically ill, that state means that a person is in a certain vulnerability vis-a-vis their relationship with Hashem. In one sense, we're going to see this, we're going to explore this. A person has actually drawn closer to Hashem at the time that they are vulnerably ill, they're terribly ill, they're drawn closer to Hashem. We're going to see that. On the other hand, though, and we're not to make this judgment about any person, whatever their situation is, and a person doesn't know any person doesn't know the answer to this. So I'm not suggesting that we would in any way whatsoever pinpoint people or situations that we cannot grasp ourselves and understand. And even the person who is ill often cannot understand the situation. However, there's at the same time, there's a certain distance from Hashem. Because the Torah teaches us that a person who cleaves to Hashem, to Hashem's word, Hashem will be their healer. Okay, so I don't mean in any way, and we have to be very, very cautious, extremely cautious, of God forbid talking about any particular cases, and even suggesting that we have the solutions or the answers for individual people or individual stories. We're not in any way doing that. But there is, nevertheless, there is a principle, and it's not only theoretical, it's a practical principle, that cleaving to Torah and cleaving to Hashem, Hashem's word, following the path that Hashem directs us in the Torah, is a measure of, is the medicine itself, is the healing itself. So in a certain sense, that would reflect on some level, that would reflect that a person who is, again, I'm using the words not clinically, but a person who's critically ill is in a state where a person is being pushed away from Hashem or being encouraged by Hashem to strengthen themselves in a particular area, whatever they know. We're not there to judge that. You know, for the person to seek some guidance, to seek some insight, to do some deep reflection on their life, and to do teshuvah. A teshuvah that would not have been possible without the illness. The illness is a vehicle to a relationship with Hashem. In a sense, all of life's experiences are a vehicle to a relationship with Hashem. Illness is one of those life experiences. But illness is the one that underscores the vulnerability of a human being the most. Right? Person could be financially unstable, or be socially isolated, or have all kinds of life situations where Hashem is really telling the person, reach out and reflect and connect. And that will be your source of inspiration and your means of growth. But illness, physical illness, by absolutely, is definitely the most, emphatic way that Hashem communicates to a person, do some deep reflection and seek out teshuvah. Doesn't mean that if the person does teshuvah, everything is going to go away. It doesn't mean that, because the relationship with Hashem is not about, it's not about the physical world. The relationship with Hashem goes beyond the physical world. The relationship with Hashem is a spiritual, if you will, bond between the soul to return to its creator, to connect to its creator. If the person endures in the physical world, the person is healed, or the person just continues to suffer, but continues to live their life, not even to the fullest, that's one possibility. Another possibility is that unfortunately a person would pass away, but the process of going through the illness brings a person to a level that is a much loftier level. It's supposed to prompt a person to reach a loftier level. A person may not take up the opportunity to do that. A person might just feel like, why is God doing this to me? I don't understand it. There's no God. And then, you know, kind of turn all the way away from Hashem even further. And then really that's a very sad situation, because then the whole process really wasn't justified, in a sense. What justifies the process of life's events, and certainly illness, is when a person is able to use that illness to reflect. Now you could ask questions like, well, what if a person has a mental illness? You know, they're not going to be able to reflect. So what's the point of that illness? You know, well, there's multiple answers. You know, you can all ask all kinds of questions, which I don't have all the answers to, and I don't think we would have all the answers to, and life's experiences would bring forth the answers. So I'm not here to answer all the questions. Illness is a very difficult situation. It's a very difficult life experience to answer, and how it unfolds. It's very difficult to deal with. But nonetheless, in the midst of all of the issues of illness, is definitely a practical approach that the Torah lays down for the average person, and that is that the more a person reaches out and reflects in himself and connects to Hashem and does teshuvah in a way that is very particular. A person might only discover it after a process of illness, only maybe after reflecting after the illness occurred, maybe not even in the time of the illness. We're not here to answer all the questions. Nevertheless, that is the path that the Torah is laying before us, one of the paths. So where am I going with this? The point that's relevant to us with visiting the sick, with the mitzvah of visiting the sick, is to understand where is a person who is, what's his context? What's the context of an illness, of a critical illness? And when we're visiting the person, what are we to do to inspire and maintain the health and the to bring life. Where are we? What is our point part in bringing life to a person who's in such a situation? So we have to connect with this point. With, I believe that's what I'm. That's what I understand from the Gemara and the teachings, is that we're trying to connect with understanding the context, helping the person arrive at understanding who really they are, at what point they are in their life. Many people are lost in this process. They don't know. It can range anywhere from why am I ill? You know, why is God doing this to me? Where is God? All the way to, I believe in God, but I don't understand why this is happening to me. Or I think everything I'm doing is fine. Inspiring the person, letting the person know that they're part of the community and people care about them. There's all kinds of aspects that are related to inspiring the person toward their connection with Hashem, and also bringing the person in. But it all begins, that's a little bit of words of introduction, but it all begins with understanding that Hashem is the healer. Here we have a few psukim from the Torah. Let's take a quick look at this. A few psukim from the Torah. The Torah says, when Hashem took the Jewish people out of Mitzrayim, and they were just a few days past the splitting of the Red Sea, they encountered loss of water. They didn't have any water. And Hashem instructed Moshe to take a bitter stick and throw it into a pond of water, and the water will become sweet and they'll be able to drink. And following that event, it says the following: if you diligently hearken the words of the Lord your God and do that which is right in His eyes and give ears to His commandments and keep all His statutes, all the afflictions with which I afflicted the Egyptians I will not inflict upon you, for I am the Lord your healer. Hashem was sending a message with throwing the bitter stick into the water and making the water sweet. How did that happen? What was going on over there? Hashem's telling the Jewish people, I can take the most bitter situation and I can, you throw it into water, water being the source of life, water being, you know, a rejuvenation. Taking the bitterness and throwing it back into the rejuvenation can actually, in a sense, connecting back, sort of like the theme of the mikvah, right? Connecting back to a rebirth in a bitter situation can bring forth sweet water that's drinkable. And that's where Hashem tells the Jewish people, I am your healer. And that's the essential message. That the bitter situation in water, back to the source, back to a connection that's one that gives life, that takes the wood and makes the water sweet. Takes the bitter wood, the bitter life. Tree representing life. Tree grows, it's the organic world. And you throw it into water, which is the source of life. And you turn a bitter situation into sweet water. That situation becomes sweet. And then there's other psukim like, I will remove your sickness from your midst. And Hashem says at the end of the Torah, it says, I kill and I make alive, I wound and I heal, and none can escape my hand. So everything is within Hashem's control. Okay, so that's, you know, obviously, the basics. But we have to understand that if a person is critically ill, the closer you become to critical illness and to, you know, I don't know what the next term would be.
After critical? Terminal.
Terminally ill?
Yeah.
Okay. Critical and terminally ill, the more one moves along that spectrum, the more they are vulnerable, and the more that demonstrates Hashem's direct hand in the illness. Right? The Gemara in Sugo says, page 38, it says, all misfortune is brought about by divine decree, except exposures to heat and cold, which are man's negligence. So if we walk around without a coat, they say you don't catch a cold that way, but if we don't wash our hands, and you know, we catch the flu or swine flu or anything like that, it could be that that's our negligence, right? But as you move along the spectrum, that's just, you know, here today, gone tomorrow kind of illness. But as you move closer down toward severe, critically, and terminally ill, and I don't know if I'm using the correct terms, and please correct me if I'm wrong, you know, as you move closer, then there you see Yad Hashem, you see Hashem's hand more clearly. Okay, and this is one more source over here that teaches the Gemara, and Eruvin says that if a person feels any kind of pain in his stomach, in his head, his whole body hurts even, if a person would immerse himself in the study of Torah, then he can rise a little bit, rise beyond the suffering and the pain that he's experiencing. Not just because of the mental involvement, but because Torah, that's like the water. That's like throwing the wood into the water. It's a rejuvenation. A person is tapping in, a person's grabbing on to Hashem and to the source of life, and that grabbing onto that is recharging him. And therefore, if a person feels even some elements of pain, or even their whole body is in pain, the recharging, connecting back to the source of life, can actually heal the person. Okay, yes.
If you have a person that goes, God forbid, from one thing to another, to another, to another, and it's like never an end to it, does it have to be that God is saying, you're not listening to me, I'm giving you something else to...
No, there's no general rule about, we cannot, obviously, our, you know, miniature human minds cannot in any way comprehend Hashem's ways. You know, we can't, you know, just make a blanket statement that it, person's not listening to that. You know, there's all kinds of reasons Hashem does what he does, right? But there, that being said, that there's all kinds of avenues, there still is one solid path that the Torah lays for us. I mean, the Torah in a sense is saying, the way I understand it, the Torah is saying, this is the way I understand it today, the Torah is saying, there might be multiple reasons why everything is happening. What's relevant to you is that I am your healer. That's what's relevant to the human being. What's relevant to the human being is that whatever the life experience is, whatever the reasons Hashem is doing it, and whatever he wants to yield from it, the message to the human being is one message. I am your healer. If you turn to me, you reflect, and you pursue a more correct path than you were pursuing before, due to your trial, you will rise even... you'll rise above it. You have the capacity to rise above it. Right? So your question is a really important question in terms of why is Hashem doing it? But the Torah... No, no, or... I'm sorry?
I don't see
that. No, you were asking...
No, I'm asking that question.
Does that mean we're not listening to Hashem, or we're not following, we're not getting the message? You know? We don't have to stand there and judge, like, as a third party... You know, here's God, here's the human being. Okay, what's happening over here? That we can't play director. You know, we're not the producer of life events. That's not our place whatsoever. We should never even think that we know, you know, on the, what's going on in the arena of why Hashem does things, especially in particular situations. What is relevant to the human being who's suffering is this message. I am your healer. If you tap into the source of life, in one text it's the Torah, which is obviously is Hashem's wisdom, is Hashem, it's tapping in and cleaving to Hashem. It could be through prayer and so on, but if you reach deeper into a more meaningful connection, that's the message to the human being. I'm sorry, did you want to say something?
Well, I just, one thing I've seen a lot, what I think of with this is that if you are passing the test or you're rising up to the occasion, that doesn't mean that you'll get a cure. That's a completely different thing. So the trial or the illness will make you experience something and maybe try harder in other areas of your life, but it doesn't guarantee it. The cure is the reward is not necessarily a cure, is what you usually say. People can ultimately die but have reached a great level by going through the trial. It doesn't mean that we know what that is coming. You don't get above the trial and
but win. You see that, you see that is the, that's, you're right, and I was saying that before as well, and that is the very cure, meaning the cure is, if you will, and that's a difficult pill to swallow, excuse the pun, but the cure is the fact that you're curing your relationship with Hashem is itself the cure. Meaning that really, that's what the Torah is teaching. It's a difficult message. It's really a difficult message, but it's the reality of what the Torah is teaching. It's not easy to teach, it's not easy to learn this message, but it's the reality of what the Torah is teaching, is that beneath the illness, there's something else going on. The illness itself is a symptom of something else going on. That there's, you have, Hashem's turning to us and saying, you have greater potential. You can reach deeper within yourself and create a more meaningful relationship with me. You have a greater spiritual potential. A symptom of that is that you're not reaching your potential. And again, we don't mean to pinpoint this to particular cases, it's just a general way to look at, and it's not in any way to typify cases in any way whatsoever. But there is this principle in the Torah, that's what we see. That Hashem is the healer, and when we connect to that, we are healed. In what way will we be healed? The symptoms might go away. The illness might be cured. But certainly what's being cured is what's beneath the surface, what's beneath the symptom. It's harder to teach it than to hear it, but come sit in the seat and say it. But that's what we're being taught in the Torah about the illness. We have to remember that the essence of human existence is not the physical world. It's not about the physical world. It's about the eternal capabilities of the human being to rise beyond the physical. Not to become ascetic, but to sometimes to abandon even the physical in for the pursuit of the greater underlying purpose. And that's what the person who is ill is should be contemplating and dealing with, delving within their thoughts about how to recreate and restructure a meaningful relationship with Hashem and straighten their path even more. That apparently was not, we weren't able to achieve without the illness. Okay, over that mountain, next. That's a real mountain. It really is. It's a real mountain. Do you see a lot of critically ill and terminally ill patients?
I don't see so many terminally ill in my current job, but the terms of youth interest me, because someone who's critically ill, they're usually very intensive, not necessarily conscious, you don't really get the same interaction. But someone who's terminally ill with, say they've been diagnosed with a terrible cancer and their prognosis is bad, those people most of the time show this ability to think about what life really is about, where they're going, what they've got in life, and do seem to get somewhere with that, for the most part, not everyone. Whereas critically ill, you can't see what's going on or feel that from someone, because they're too ill for you to really interact and know how they're doing. So terminally ill, you get a better spiritual feeling from it in some ways than a critically ill patient. So I guess they're going through the trial internally.
Or how about people that are in coma? And they don't know how
it's going. Yeah, maybe just before you stepped in or after I said that you could ask, you know, well, what about the person who's mentally ill and doesn't have the capacity to reflect?
Right.
That's true. There are multiple reasons why it's happening. It could be for the people around them. It could be for the community. It could be for them when they're out of the coma, then they can, you know, reflect on the experience. It could be multiple reasons. I'm not here to give reasons, I'm just here to highlight one point. And I don't think that anyone can have the audacity of giving reasons. You know, that's beyond human comprehension. Again, I think this is an important message. We're not on the sidelines looking at, oh, this is what God's doing, and this is the human being, and what's going on over here. No, no, no. We are the human being. We're not on the sidelines watching ourselves and Hashem. We are the human being. We are the subject. We are in it. And the message to us is one message. Whatever the illness, whatever the calamity, whatever the situation is, Hashem is the healer. That's the message that's relevant to us. It doesn't matter why Hashem is doing it. What's relevant to us is Hashem is the healer. And therefore, use that as your guide. That's the message of the Torah.
That's another difference between critically ill. I think when someone's critically ill, there's so much physical activity going on. The whole event is physical. Everything that you need to get for that patient is totally focused on the physical. When you know that it's terminal and it's not going to succeed, then the physical stuff gets much less. There's less active physicality going on as far as the interventions, the way the patient is treated or responds is different. So you see more of a move into prayer and spirituality just from there.
I didn't get that too clearly. Do you mean that the critically ill patient is...
You bombard the person with physical interventions. Like, you're just totally all about how to keep the body going. Uh-huh. When they decide that it's not going to work, then some spiritual consideration comes in, what someone needs for another part of themselves.
Okay.
That's interesting.
Okay. Well, yeah. Thank you. And critically ill is, again, I'm not using clinical terms, but critically ill, someone who's in that the state of where enormous interventions. So that's one piece out of the puzzle of all illness, right? That's one piece. I mean, there's all the stages before that. You know, even when a person gets the flu, you know, this is relevant, right? And certainly when a person is terminally ill, God forbid, that's also absolutely relevant. And the closer you move down the line, so to say, unfortunately, the more it is absolutely clear, it's more evident that Hashem's hand is involved. The person can experience that more, is getting a stronger message about these fundamentals. Okay, let's move beyond that. So, an uncomfortable topic. I guess I chose an uncomfortable topic. Well, I don't know.
It's life.
I don't know.
It's life.
No.
Huh? What do you say, Rachel?
It's okay.
It's fine. Okay. It's difficult. You know, it would be different if, God forbid, if in the room was sitting someone who was terminally ill. That would be very different for us. You know, it's a very difficult thing. You know, we can make the connections, but that it's just a very difficult thing for people that know people or have experienced or lived with people or family or friends with terminal illness or any kind of serious illness. It's a difficult message. There's no question about it. It's very difficult. Okay. Two messages from the Maharal that are absolutely critical. When a person is ill, a person is set apart. And by being set apart from everyone else, by being ill, we'll see that in a moment, there are effects on the person. And part of the chesed of visiting the ill is reaching out to the person and bringing them in. It's so important because a person, as much as we all sometimes feel lonely and isolated, even though we live in a vibrant community, if a person is ill and they're at home, or they're in the hospital, or wherever they are, and they're isolated, that's even a greater, they're much more vulnerable to drifting away. It's so important. Part of the chesed of visiting the sick, or reaching out and doing chesed with someone who's ill, is including them, bringing them back into the circle of the community. So this is what the message of the Maharal. A sick person is set apart from the natural. I want to go to the third third citation over here. You should further know about the mitzvah of visiting the ill, that the ill person is set apart from the general healthy community, because others are properly healthy, as they should be, while the ill person, when he leaves his natural health, he is set apart from the communal good. So Hashem runs the world, although Hashem deals with every detail, but Hashem made a natural order. He serves the world, he dishes the world goodness based on the communal good. Right? Of course, Hashem intervenes and knows the details of every person's life. And if a person calls out to Hashem, Hashem responds, and so on. But the general flow of traffic is that Hashem gives to the communal good. The greatest danger for a person is to be out of that community. Because as Hashem is maintaining and sustaining the general welfare, if someone's on the sidelines, they're out of that, then they are very vulnerable. That's what the Maharal is saying right now. Everyone's naturally healthy. Right? That's the natural course of things. So a sick person is automatically set apart. What we want to do is include that person back in the group. While visiting the ill person, he connects and bonds with the general populace of the naturally healthy, by which his sickness is alleviated. By simply connecting the person back into the community, by making personal contact from the general healthy community, reaching out to the person on the sidelines, the ill person on the sidelines, and pulling them in, that itself alleviates their illness, because now they're more associated with the general good of the community. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Is it like a minion then? Like you get the if you're in a minion davening, you get more going for you than if you're davening alone, and if you're sick, it's the same concept if you're out on your own?
That's an interesting parallel. Yeah. We find that, meaning Hashem resides within the community. Hashem, this is a slightly different thing, but the same idea, that Hashem gives good to the community, and therefore a person always wants to be in that community. Look for a moment at this Gemara in Shabbos, and this is what we do whenever we pray for sick people. Rabbi Yossi says, and this is the halacha, like this piece of Gemara, one should say, may the Omnipresent have mercy on you among the sick of Israel. One who has a sick person must include him together with the sick of Israel when praying on his behalf. We never pray for a person in isolation. Hashem should heal so-and-so. We never pray for a person in isolation, because what we want to accomplish in our prayer is their welfare. The greatest welfare is to be part of the communal good. So therefore we always say, B'toch she'ar chalei Yisrael, within the other sick people, the other sick people. So there's, in a sense, like a community of ill people in the world, and Hashem's going to provide goodness to that ill community, to all the people on the sidelines. Hashem's going to provide them goodness. We never want to give the appearance of isolating someone, because that has a negative spiritual effect. That person becomes known as an isolated person. You know that many people don't say about someone, they don't want to publicize. We don't publicize that a person is ill. Let's say if a person is terminally ill, in the beginning, we try to keep it discreet. Not only because the person doesn't want the community to know, because it's difficult to share the news, but also because they don't want to get a label of a chole, of an ill person. Once they get a label of an ill person, they're, so to say, spiritually on the sidelines. Everyone is well, and everyone knows this person is ill. But once the situation becomes a little bit more severe, then it's better for them, for everyone to know that they're ill, because then everyone can pray for them. That's a better benefit. But you have to weigh it. If you publicize it too early that a person is ill, then they're known as he or she is someone who's ill. They're on the sidelines, so to say. We're the healthy community. This person is isolated, so to say, spiritually isolated, as the ill. But then when it becomes important for the community to reach out, so then, and to pray for the person, then it's better for him to be known as the ill person, because it's not going to harm him or her at this stage anymore. What's better for them is to be prayed for.
Do you know when is the time?
Isn't it instant when someone's sick, you daven for them? You don't wait?
If you know, but you don't walk around and tell people, you don't put a sign in the shul, so to say, you know, so-and-so is ill, everyone should daven for them. Just because, you know, God forbid, you know, Plony goes to the doctor and he gets the results, they have a some severe case of cancer, whatever the situation is. Shouldn't come back to shul and everyone should start davening for it. No, it labels the person right away, but as there's a certain progression, more of a natural progression.
But the rabbi does it. The rabbi announces that they need to read the Tehillim because of so and so is sick.
Yes, that's probably a point already where the person is in need of communal response to their illness. But if a person is not in need, they should not publicize that they're ill. Mm-hmm. Should not publicize it. So that the question of when do you know is the right time, it kind of coincides also with a person's level of comfort, of when they're ready to share unpleasant news with the community. You know, so it usually coincides with that. But on that kind of point, it really, a person should seek some guidance, actually, from a spiritual mentor. It could be a rabbi, whoever the spiritual mentor is. A person should seek, you know, a rabbi, a teacher, whomever it is, a person should seek some counsel from, you know, a gadol, the Yisrael, someone who's a great sage. Because it's not simple to simply, you don't want to become labeled, God forbid, as a chola. Right? That's why they don't say, some places don't say when they announce Mishaberach for ill people, they don't say Mishaberach l'cholim. Because then you just labeled all of the people as cholim. You know, you don't want to call them cholim. You know, in some places they say these are all the people that are, you know, on the way to recovery. You know, you don't want to label people as a person as a cholim. And that's in the theme of this Maharal. And the theme of the Talmud, that we want to include people in the community as much as possible. Okay. Let's turn the sheet over here. Let's get to a slightly different topic. Please go to source number 6. The Talmud of Bava Kamma says, Hashem told Moshe the following. Rav Yosef taught in a Braita, the verse says, and you shall make known to them the way that they should walk. There's a whole verse that tells them, Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, don't just teach them the Torah, teach them how they should pursue the Torah, and teach them, Hashem tells Moshe, how to guide the Jewish people. And one of the things Hashem says is the way, this refers to Gemilus Chasadim, the general way, the path, the way the Jewish people should go, the way they should go, the direction which we follow, the way we pursue. Yeah? You hear what I'm saying? You hear what I'm saying? The Jewish way of going, the Jewish way to go, is called Gemilus Chasadim. That's the way we go. Our direction is always to seek the kindness and the goodness for other people. That's called, by the Torah, that's called Haderech. That's the way. That's our path. Yeah? And particularly, that they should walk refers specifically to visiting the sick. So the Torah refers to visiting the sick as walking on the path. The path is Gemilus Chasadim. The walking on the path is visiting the sick. Why the walking on the path is visiting the sick? Why is that? Why is it more than, you know, we talked last week about Hachnasat Kala, and we talked about Hachnasat Orchim, including the, you know, hospitality and the guests in your home, why is going to the sick considered walking on the path of Gmilut Chasadim? What do you say? Why is going on the path?
Because it's helping the person who's sick. It's helping elevating them closer to Hashem.
Okay, so that's considered walking on the path.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because it's the right direction.
Okay. Yes, Ellen?
Because sick person, really sick person, very... it's in very spiritual stage.
Yes.
And when you visit them, you kind of elevate yourself to the spiritual
to their
realm.
That's nicely put.
Maybe because you just follow the step of Hashem, because Hashem visited the sick.
Right, that's a good point. That's a good point. The Talmud actually says that there's a lot of things Hashem did. Hashem clothed the naked. Hashem did hachnasat kala. Hashem visited the sick. Hashem, you know, buried the dead. Right? We once saw that piece of Talmud. But specifically visiting the sick. So, but these are all excellent points. Excellent points. So the person who... So, let's think about this, and I think it's a really profound point, and it connects to things we've said in earlier classes. And that is, the path, the general path is Gmilut Chasadim, the way that, the direction that a Jew reaches out. Which way are we going? Where are we headed? We're headed on the path of Gmilut Chasadim. That's the Jewish people. We're headed on the path of Gmilut Chasadim. What is the, if you will, the representation? What, I'll use some words, what crystallizes, what concretizes the message of walking on the path of Gmilut Chasadim is reaching out to the sick person. Because the sick person, more than anyone else, more than the guest who comes to you, more than the bride, and more than the dead, specifically the sick person is on the sidelines of the community. Everyone else is either reaching out to you, so you do chesed, or they're departed already from this world, they're not part of the community. The sick person is someone who's in the community who you need to reach out to, and that is the point, that is the path of chesed. Chesed is reaching out of yourself to reach to that person. That's what chesed is. Like I mentioned last week, just writing the check for tzedakah, you know, and doing, getting rid of it, just doing your job, that's not chesed. That's tzedakah. To come to chesed, chesed means you reach out to the other person. So when are you actually walking on the path of chesed? When you visit the sick. That's when you're walking on the path of chesed. How magnificent. That visiting the sick is the most profound demonstration of walking on the path. Then the next part of the pasuk says, in it, ba. In it, that refers to burial of the dead. So, it, Gmilut Chasadim, it refers to burial of the dead. But walking on the path is considered walking on the path, leading the path of chesed, like the flow of chesed, which is outward to reach other people, is visiting the sick. And on that note, the Maharal says the following. I wanted to actually share a story from the Talmud, the story in the Gemara, that's not on there. There's just a famous story in the Gemara, in the Darim, page 40. The Gemara says that there was a certain student of Rabbi Akiva. We know Rabbi Akiva had 24,000 students before they all perished, and then he had five. And Rabbi Akiva is considered the greatest Talmudic sage, hands down. Rabbi Akiva's student became ill, and no one went to visit him. No one went to visit the student, and he was deteriorating.
Maybe they didn't know.
They knew. And they didn't visit. We'll have to see why. There's reasons why. They didn't visit. Rabbi Akiva went in, and this student was lying in bed, deteriorating, and he saw that the windows were not opened, it was gloomy, it was dusty, So Rabbi Akiva saw that the terrible conditions that the student was in, so he immediately asked everyone to come in and clean up, and they cleaned up the whole place, and the whole cleaning crew cleaned up the room, brought him some food, and the student was basically revived. Rabbi Akiva came into the Beis HaMedrash, he came into the study hall, and he banged on the table and he said, everybody should know that when you visit the ill, you are bringing them back to life. And if you don't visit the sick, it's like you're spilling blood. You are responsible for not visiting the sick. You're taking their life in your hands. So the commentaries ask, like, how could it be that the students of Rabbi Akiva didn't visit the sick? The answer is that one answer that they give is that visiting the sick, the students thought, it's about engaging the person in conversation and encouraging them. But many people who are sick, they're not in a condition to be able to converse with you. You know, their head hurts, their mouth hurts them, they're not in any condition, they're too weak to talk. So the student said, we can't converse, we can't really go and engage the person, so there's not really much that we can do. Rabbi Akiva taught them that there's a lot more to visiting the sick than just engaging the person and lifting their spirits. There's the welfare, the general care, the maintenance, that's also visiting the sick. So there are actually two parts to the mitzvah. The two parts to the mitzvah are engaging the person and inspiring the person and strengthening the person, giving them courage, telling them how much you care about them and how much they're part of the community. That's one part. Then there's another part. If you can't do that, at least a person should go and seek out their welfare. Clean up the room. You know, get things going so that they're in the best conditions that they could possibly be. That's what it says over here in the Shulchan Aruch. It says, we do not visit the sick who experience a stomach, an eye, or head illness and not the critically ill, since all these cannot speak. Again, not sure what the eye illness is, but in all these situations a person is not in a state where they want visitors. You know, they have stomach issues, or they're having head injury, they're not in a condition where they can talk to people. We do not visit them in person. Rather, we stand in the anteroom and ask and seek his welfare, namely if it is necessary to clean or dust the room for him, and listen to the anguish he might be experiencing, and then pray for divine mercy. So there's two aspects of Bikur Cholim. A person can actually fulfill the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim over the telephone. If you cannot attend to the sick person, you can pick up the phone and do the second part of Bikur Cholim, which is seeking out, what does this person need? Okay, maybe they need a ride to the doctor, maybe they need some medication to be picked up, maybe they need extra cleaning service, maybe there's something that could be done to make them feel included and to take care of their physical needs. Pretty soon.
I had a couple of friends who were terminally ill. And these people, actually one person, she didn't want to see anybody. She didn't want people even come close to her house. She wanted to be only with her family. How do you...
Immediately after she was informed that she was terminally ill? Or...
Immediately. Immediately she didn't want even deal with anybody. She didn't want people call her. She just withdrew herself out of the whatever friendship she had.
So you're saying as soon as she got the news that she was terminally ill, she wanted to be isolated. Okay, that's natural, I think. If a person is, even in the Shulchan Aruch, it talks about if a person is, deteriorating, God forbid, not that she is or was, or I don't know the situation.
Sure, she's got.
Okay, I don't mean to talk about a particular situation, but if a person is deteriorating, or if a person suddenly is struck by something happens to them, some traumatic events,
stroke.
Some stroke. Yeah, okay, some stroke or something. Then In that way, in that situation, actually the halacha recommends that nobody who is beyond the immediate family visit, or the closest friends visit, because that just makes a person feel more of the anguish. There's all kinds of emotions that are raging at that time. Person feels terribly hurt and shocked, and perhaps embarrassed and injured by the news, and it's very sensitive. As time goes on, though, was that the situation, that as time went on, she also wanted to be isolated? Okay. Well, you can only reach out to people that want to be reached out to,
okay.
And you can always let them know how much you're including them in your thoughts, and in your prayers, and they're part of your life. They're not out, they're not isolated, just because a person chooses to be isolated. So, every situation is different, mm-hmm. But yeah, indeed, we can only reach out to people that want to be,
helped.
Yeah, that's like, we spoke about that. That chesed is not easy to come by. Chesed, you could be rejected in chesed. And there are mountains to climb to do true chesed. True chesed, to come by true chesed, is really difficult. One of the reasons we don't make a blessing on chesed is because it's all contingent on the other person receiving it. There's so many obstacles to reach, to be able to actually do true chesed for someone who really needs it, at a time that they really need it, and that you should be able to have the opportunity to truly reach out beyond yourself and truly provide that, and walk that in a way, exemplify Hashem's attribute of chesed. That is so rare and unique. It's so difficult to come by. But we have to continue seeking out. We're on the path. But those moments, those are the precious moments of doing chesed. That is a precious spiritual moment in life. When a person is, God forbid, in some need, and you have the opportunity to provide a unique, to fulfill that unique need, that is something that's very rare. That chesed does not come easy. And it's after some obstacles, it needs to be pursued. And then you attain that high level of Hashem's, exemplifying Hashem's way. It's something we need to work at. It doesn't come easy. If we're lazy about it, it will never come. If we're lazy about it, it will never come. It needs to be pursued. And we have to be meritorious, we have to be zocheh to have the opportunity to do chesed. To live a moment in our life that exemplifies one of Hashem's traits, that is something that's beyond, it's superhuman. It's an opportunity. It's really something that's unique. Okay. Let's see number five, and then with that we'll end this evening. Yeah? So in source two and in source five, what's emphasized is that when a person is unfortunately in a situation where they're very ill and they're moving, they're deteriorating, the more a person is in that situation, the more that they are experiencing a physical deficit. When they are experiencing the physical deficit, they're more able to, they're more capable of being under Hashem's, in a sense, Hashem's direct care. Because Hashem will connect with the aspects that are not physical. If we're just physical and we just indulge in the physical, we'll have no connection with Hashem. The more spiritual we become, the greater closer we come to Hashem and experience Hashem's presence. So someone who's ill, and not necessarily on their own choice at all, obviously, but they're deteriorating, they're becoming, in a sense, less occupied by the physical. They have no yetzer hara. They're lying there. They're just, they're a victim, so to say, of the illness. then they're almost removed from the physical. At that point, Hashem resides with them, closely with them. That's what it says over here in source 2. And in source 5, the Meiri says that when you come to an ill person, you come to their bedside, you should not sit higher up. That's the halacha. You should not sit higher up than them. Because when they're on their bed, they feel that deficit. And they feel that loss. And they feel vulnerable. When you sit higher up, you know, they lose a sense of the balance. If you come and you sit low down and you're caring for them, then they feel, wow, what's going on with me right now is really something that's really, you know, unique and something that is very sensitive. And it makes them reflect even more. Someone is really caring for my sensitive needs. But if you come and you sit down next to them higher up than them, then they feel like, in a sense, it scorns on some level their needs. It's, you know, someone's higher up, you're not making yourself humbled to their needs, you're sitting next to them. It's a different dynamic. So in that dynamic, if a person's sitting on high, he abandons his sincere prayer in his heart while he's lying on his bed, even if he can't speak. He's having some deep emotional, spiritual experience that is tantamount to prayer. And if you sit up high next to them, and you, in a sense, on some level, you diminish their ability to reach deep within themselves. Therefore, you need to humble yourself, so to say, at their experience. You're at their service. And humbling them at their experience, then they realize, wow, they become all the more reflective on their situation, and they become even more sincere and more understanding of their own context. So does that make sense? So as visitors, we play a pivotal role in emphasizing the context for the person who is ill.
Does it mean that when you visit the sick, you always have to sit down, you cannot stand, by the way?
I don't think it means that. You definitely
can stand. But you're definitely going to be.
Yeah, but there's a difference between standing next to someone
or sitting higher
okay. And you're positioned higher.
Okay.
Yeah. It's subtle. It's a very subtle point. But a person be sensitive to that. And we want to be very, very cautious not to play down in any way their situation. Quite the contrary. To highlight their situation and say, I appreciate what you're going through, your vulnerable situation, and I want to give you the opportunity, I recognize that, I want to give you the opportunity to experience what you're going through. You know?
So there's no room for like humor or cheering someone up in this thing. Then you're not really giving any spiritual depth to them if you're just amusing them.
Right. It's all the situation. I mean, you definitely want to, you definitely want to amuse the person, but if you're just being lighthearted and that person's going through some deep reflection, it depends on the situation, of course. You know, that's not going to be appropriate.
Yeah.
Right? But definitely, if the state is where the person is, you know, pretty much, they're not deteriorating and deteriorating. You walk into, God forbid, to a situation where a person is deteriorating, cheering the person up is great if you could do that, you know. Mm-hmm. But the person is reflecting and you see that they're in, you know, deep thoughts, and to be, you know, joking around or trying to cheer them up, you know, they're not in that mood, you know.
But people do that a lot, like they want to do that. It's uncomfortable to sit with someone's reflections, that people will try and make it lighter.
Right. But I cannot comment professionally on that. But you know, it's kind of like counseling, you know. When a person is suffering, let the person mourn their loss. Person has a loss, right? Not that this is a loss, but a person is experiencing some you know, suffering and so on. Part of the healing process part is coming to terms with the loss. If we just try to gloss over the loss, or we say, oh, I came to visit you, you sit on high, and you kind of play down their reflection, or, you know, and sometimes it is appropriate to do that. Maybe they want that. They want to, you know, they're like, oh, no one's been cheering me up lately, you know, and they want to, like, you know, just sit in there, sit around and play, and whatever, you know, and just talk and have some chit-chat, that's appropriate. But in the particular situation that's being described over here, you definitely, the person's all wants to be cheered up, and you walk in, you're all gloomy. You know, then you're definitely going to ruin the, you're definitely going to spoil the mood. But if the person is, you know, reflecting, then we don't want to make light of that. Mm-hmm. You know, we want them to be able to experience. We want to say, not that I can appreciate what you're going through, but I empathize with what you're going through, and I want to cater to that, and I want you to be able to experience that in the way that's meaningful to you. I don't want to rob you of that opportunity by visiting you. Okay, so lastly, we, you know, generally we learn that, you know, even the, even people that are, you know, any person who's, you know, in a state of, let's say the terminally ill, you know, as whatever the outer shell might be, there's reflection going on inside, and we definitely want to be supportive of that particular reflection. We don't want to rob them of that. So in summary, the point, the angle that I'm presenting this evening, which I think is an important angle to see about visiting the sick, is that, it's my understanding of the text, is that there is an important context that the person is in when they are very ill. And our role in that is to support them in that in whatever way we're able to do that, but not to rob them of that context in any way, and even to remind them, to help them reach down and remember and reflect upon that Hashem is their healer. And that is the message that's relevant to every human being who's ill. That's the message that's relevant, not to, like, and God forbid, if we ever experience illness, to understand that we're not, like we had the discussion, we're not like the producer or the director of, well, here's the human being and here's God and this is what's happening, so I'm on the sidelines. No, I am the human being in there. And the message to me from Hashem is that I need to understand that Hashem is my healer. Okay, good. I covered one difficult topic at least.